Okay. So we're starting the Sugya of Ein Lo'Ovim. The Mishnah, first Mishnah. Why is it so noisy here today? Okay, so we're going to start the Mishnah. So let's just do a little overview, right? So what is in the Mishnah? What are the categories in the Mishnah? The Mishnah has two categories, correct? The Chametz Gomor Yidei Taroves, right, and Nuksha. The first four are Chametz Dagon Gomor Yidei Taroves, and what? The last, how many are there? Three? And the last three are the Nuksha cases, right? Okay. Now, factually speaking, is there's a machlokes rishonim what the metzias is of the chametz dogon gomrei de tarovas, right? But we're going to learn now, according to most of the rishonim, that we're talking about what? Talking about what? That there's ein bo kizayis b'kedei chilus pras. Correct? Ein bo kizayis b'kedei chilus pras. So what's the significance of that? Why is that what we're talking about? Perforce. Why is that what we're talking about? Jonah? Otherwise it's just regular chametz, right? And it's an interesting question, but in terms of regular malchalos asuros, we consider, most rishonim consider the thing to be be'en, basically consider it to be mamosho, like the thing itself, if there's a kezayis b'kedei chilas pras, right? Seems to be that's what the Gemara considers calls taimo umamasho. Taimo umamasho. So, yeah, much different. Shishim is bottle, right? And then less than shishim is taimo velo mamasho, just tam. This is considered that the mamish is there. Because you can do a ma'isa achila to the iser, right? The iser is nisarev. The iser is in the mixture, and the substance of the iser is subject to a regular ma'isa achila. Because the ma'isa achila has to be done within the achilas pras, within the zman of achilas pras. It's no different according to these sheets. It's no different than if I took chalev. And I just nibbled on it very slowly, took a kezayis of chalev and ate it slowly, and but within the shear of a chilas pras, so then it would be you'd be chayev. If it was longer than a shear of a chilas pras, you would not be chayev. Be aser because the chatzi shear. But by the way, that's a good example of tziruf, right? Like we were discussing last time with the hefsek. See, that's a real idea of when you start like Chaim was saying that if I say Chaim, nobody knows what I'm talking about. So that when you start, so now there's a zman, right? Now there's a time limit. Now there's a clock that starts ticking. Right, because the kezayis has to be eaten. The iser has to be the iser of the kezayis has to be eaten within the zman of achilas pras. Everything that's eaten within the zman of achilas pras is considered mitzuraf into one achila. Right, but you can't keep extending that. Right, you can't say if I eat a little bit, I'll eat a quarter now, and I'll wait right till the end of the achilas pras. Eat the next quarter. You can't keep going. Right, you can't keep going. It's not like the sugya and hefsek, that k'day ligmor is cool. You can keep going, right? That's a different idea. Some people are trying to apply this idea over there. And that's why I was saying it doesn't work out. Over here, there's an absolute zman. There's a fixed period of time that everything within it is connected. Over there was a different question of the zman of hashlama. Right, but anyway, so that's the case over here. That were it a kezayis b'kedei chilas pras of chametz gomor, then it would just be regular. You wouldn't need any riboy. But this whole mishnah is based on a riboy, right? So that's how the most rishonim learn. When do you need a riboy? If it was a kezayis, if it was less than a kezayis, if it was kezayis plus chilas pras, you wouldn't need a riboy. So the fact that it's an arev, now these rishonim are looking at chametz like any other isra. There's a certain substance of isra, like chaylev, or chazer, anything like that. And being misarev is not a being misarev doesn't remove the shame misr of chametz. Shame misr of chametz is there regardless. It's still is chametz. It's still pieces of chametz. Now, so therefore, if you would eat it because a kezayis because of chilas pras, it'd be no different than any other machlosurus. So what was Rabbi Eliezer and the mayor and the chachamim arguing about a ribui of kol? You don't need any ribui of kol by kezayis b'kedei chilas pras as an entity. That was the phenomenon. First of all, your question is based on the Rambam, right? The Rambam does not learn this whole. The Rambam is the other shita. Okay, so don't get started with the Rambam. But simply put. A ma'isa achila is a kezayis b'kedei achilas pras. Ma'isa achila of iser for onshim, right? To be over the iser is a kezayis b'kedei achilas pras. Less than that is a chatzishir question. But it doesn't matter if I have the whole cheftza of the iser in front of me and I nibble on it, right? Or if it's contained in another food that's going to require me to eat heter in order to get to the kezayis b'kedei achilas pras. If it's contained in another food, point is like this: if it's contained in another food, but I can still eat it kezayis b'kedei achilas pras, then I can still relate to it as a machol. I can still relate to it as an ochel. Understand? If it's since achila means I eat the thing as in the kezayis b'kedei achilas pras, right? Listen, there's a difference between snacking and eating, right? The difference between snacking and eating. So if I just snack on it, that's not the issue. Right? If I eat it, that's the issue. So eating has parameters, has a certain shear of quantity, and it has a certain duration. Right? If I take something and I just take a couple bites over a few hours, you can't say that I treated it as an ochel. Ochel has a certain sphere, there's certain ideas of what an ochel is. Chalta v'savata. Right? So the thing is like this. Now, when the iser is nisarev and heter, the question is: does it, as an iser, still exist b'toras ochel on its own, or is it just considered like a tam in another ochel? Right. So we say if it exists, if it's contained in a shear that you can still eat of it, a kezayis b'kedei achilas pras, then even though it's nisarev, it still has its shame of machol sasuros. But if it can't be in b'kezayis b'kedei achilas pras, then it's just considered the tam of another food. Then they get the whole machlokas, the rishonim, tam kikers, deraisa, derabanan. But you understand, tam means it exists in the context of another ochel. Mamish means it itself is an ochel. What's the difference? What makes it an ochel? If it can be eaten in the way an ochel is eaten, how is an ochel? How is a food eaten? B'kezayis b'kedei achilas pras. Right. Okay, so therefore they're saying that Taroves, if there's something new here, we'll see that there's something new that's included by a special Riboy, it can't be just the shame Chometz alone. Must be something new. Okay? All right. So we have to understand is, we'll see in the Gemara, Machlokas, Rav Yehuda, and who? Rav Nachman? About what is more likely to be included and what is less likely to be included. So once again, so if I would ask you now to define maybe a universal between Nuksha and Tarovis. I mean, they're both being included between Nuksha and Tarovis. So what's Nuksha? Nuksha is easy. What's Nuksha? Why is Nuksha not included from the Pasuk of Chametz itself? Because it's not good. Yeah, it's not good. Right. So what's why is Tarovis included? Why is Tarovis in that category? There's Chametz Gomer in it. Why is Tarovis? What's the similarity? What's the similarity between Nuksha and Tarovis?
Lacking in composition.
It's lacking in composition. Okay. You think it's bottle? Okay. Okay, we'll think about it then. All right, let's take the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara says, who's the Tana that holds that what? The Chometz Dagon Gomor Al Yidei Tarovos V'nuksha Be'enei is Belav.
Yeah.
So Taroves is what? Chometz Dagon Gomor Yidei Taroves and Nuksha Be'en. Be'en means how do you translate Be'en?
By itself.
By itself, okay. It's difficult to translate, I don't know. It's difficult. Do we have like a comparable word? Huh? Distinct, he said. It's as it is, right. Right, as it is, okay. Go ahead. So one more try. So how would you, so what are the two? What are the two categories here? In other words, if I'm starting with Chametz, Dagon, Gomor, Be'en, right? So now the Gemara seems to say there are two ways to deviate from Chametz, Dagon, Gomor, Be'en, right? The two logical ways. One is what?
It's not Be'en.
One is that it's not Be'en. Okay, and the other is?
It's not Gomor.
It's not Gomor. Right? You have Chametz, Dagon, Gomor, Be'en. That's the Davar Pasha. That's the Davar Pasha from the that's Chametz itself. That's what Chametz refers to. Chametz, Dagon, Gomor, Be'en. Now, we have two deviations from Chametz, Dagon, Gomor, Be'en. Right? You could say it's, like you were saying. One is that it's not Be'en, meaning it's Nisariv. Right? It's not Be'en, it's Nisariv. And the other is that it's not Gomor, it's Nuksha. Okay, go ahead. So who's the Tana that holds both of these are Asur? Both of these Yechayev Asur Balav. So somehow Rabbi Yehuda figured out that this is Rabbi Meir. It must be Rabbi Meir. How? Because he said, Seor Yisarif. Seor should be burnt. Vinosno Lekalbo. And give it to your dog. Va'ochlo barbaim. And the one who eats it gets malchus. So it's chayav b'lav. Alright. But the problem is, that doesn't make any sense. Hagufa kasha. Right? It's internally contradictory. Continue.
Hagufa kasha, amarid.
Well, first of all, what is Seor?
Nuksha.
Right. It's a case of Nuksha. It's partially risen. Okay, so the problem is we got to know something before we start this price, right? You got to know that Mishnah. You got to know that Mishnah. Let's jump to the Mishnah. Go ahead, yeah?
Say Yisraf, the Oklo Pucker.
Okay, so Seor Rashi Shalohichmitz called Sarko. Right? So Sayur, you should be burned. And if you eat it, you're potter. You're potter. And Siduk, you should also burn. But if you eat it, you're chayiv kares. Wow. Big jump. Right? From potter to chayiv kares. Okay. So what does that mean, Rashi? Siduk?
Siduk.
So as it becomes chametz, right? As it makes chametz, it gets cracks. So seyor is shlohichem. It's called tarko. So you're not chayev for if it's not chametz. But once you have siduk, now it has reached the stage of chimutz. So now you're eating chametz. Okay, go ahead. So everybody seems to agree on this principle, right? Sounds like it so far. Everyone agrees on the principle. That Seor is Yisarif. And maybe Ha'ochlo Pata. Not sure, right? But not the Chayiv Kares on Seor. That everybody seems to agree, right? And your Chayiv Kares on what? On Siduk. But there's a machlokas. Machlokas is, what is Seor and what is Siduk? So what is Rabbi, who's up first? Rabbi Yehuda. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Seor is kikar nechagovim. And Siduk is nisarvu sedokin zebeze. Rashi. Kar nechagovim. Sedek lekan v'sedek lekan. Sedek lekan v'sedek lekan. So what does that mean? Right, like this.
So it has cracks on it? And then it gets... Like, what happens? It gets more cracks?
You didn't do your homework?
You couldn't take
it. It starts out with... Kanei Chagolim. It starts out with a crack here and a crack there. Right? It means, like, individual cracks. Like, Kanei Chagolim means individual cracks. Right? It's not necessarily gonna look like Kanei Chagavim. But it means, that's what it means. Sedek Lakan, the Sedek Lakan. Okay, go ahead. So the Rabbanan say no. Zev is Zev Ha'ochlo Chayiv. Zev is Zev what? Right. Both Kanei Chagavim. Even Kanei Chagavim is already chametz, right? Even Kanei Chagavim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kanei Chagavim is not chametz yet, and it's only when they're interwoven, intertwined, then it's a chametz. But the Chum say no, any siduk is chametz already, right? So what is Seor? They also agree there's a stage of pre-chametz. Right? The stage of pre-chametz. So what is that stage? Go ahead. What is it? Shehechsifu ponov. What does that mean? Doesn't mean hechsifu like we had in Shabbos. It's the opposite. It means it got white. Right? It got white. It whitened. Just like a person whose hair is standing up. Very, what do you call it? A lot of imagery used in this mission. Right, heavy on the imagery. So, go ahead. What does it mean, Rashi?
Rashi,
So it's like a person whose hair stands up, and because of the fear and the trembling, his face goes white. His face goes white. Yeah. So anyway, it's funny analogies here. So what's the machlokas? Alright, so what's the machlokas over here? Right? Seems like you can't define this machlokas. Right? All right, let's look at the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Would you try to define this machlokas just in the Mishnah? No. Yeah, you would? Go ahead, B-Man.
No.
Okay. So the first thing we get in the Gemara, a vital piece of information, is who are the... is that what? That Rabbi Meir holds like our Chachamim, right? That's what it seems like. Our Chachamim is Rabbi Meir, correct? Because Seyor is Hichsifu Panov. And Siduk is Karnei Chagavim. Right? Give Rabbi Meir. That's what, so was Rashi Chachamim, the Braisa, who Rabbi Yehuda the Masnisin. Is that right? Oh, the Chacham of the Bais, right. The Chacham of the Bais, correct. The Chacham of the Masnisin is Reb Meir, right? The Chacham of the Bais, I'm sorry, the Chacham in the Mishnah is Reb Meir. Is Reb Meir in the Bais, right? Okay, good. And Reb Yehuda in the, is the Chacham in the Bais. Chacham Reb Meizeh Oseyar, Garni Chagavim, Siduk Shnes Arvu, Sidokin Zebezeh. Right, go ahead. Yeah, that's interesting. So, she said, but it's a stira, because our Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Meir, I'm sorry, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're pater on his seyer. He says you're pater on his own seyer. Right? Even though he says you have to burn it, in Achayev Karis or Malkus. Right, but the flow of the Braisa implies that the Chacham is saying Chayav Karis on both. Isn't that what it implies? Okay, go ahead.
Imo Lever Meir Zev Zev Ochlo Chayav Karis.
Right, so you have to say it like our Mishnah, basically. That Rabbi Meir is saying Zev Zev, not Seir and Siduk, but the Zev Zev, Rashi, Bein Seir de Rabbi Yehuda, the Karin Chagavim, Bein Siduk, Chayavim Karis. To divide the Rav Meir, Siduk, so really everybody agrees, Siduk is the only thing Chayav Karis on. But Rav Meir is coming and saying that he holds both cases of, even Rabbi Yehuda Seor is Siduk.
Why is it going back to Rabbi Yehuda? If he's talking about the Braisa is the Chacham now.
The Chacham of the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. That's the problem.
So, I guess,
the
whole confusion that you said Rabbi Yehuda.
Who said Rabbi Yehuda? Oh. V'ha'anan Tanan is the Mishnah. Say Yisrael V'chopat de Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So the steer is our Rabbi Yehuda and in the Mishnah and the Chachamim, which is Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa. That's the problem. Right?
Okay. The thing is that even though it's at the end, Zebazet to Rabbi Meir.
Okay, so now it's an interesting question. The Gemara says, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Meir? What's the reasoning of Rabbi Meir? It's interesting that he's the one that needs a reason. Right? They seem to hold that Rabbi Yehuda makes sense. Right? So what's the reasoning of Rabbi Meir? Okay. Yeah, so Morris, you want to answer that? Yeah, you were. You were answering that. You just had your points, you just started too early, right? In other words, Ben Simon, you were answering that?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
What, Rabbi Yehuda?
Why is Rabbi Yehuda more Mastava?
Because they're just two different states. One is where the quality of rising is present, and the other one is sort of like the first stage of development that deviates from, like, the dough's natural state.
In other words, Siduk is the beginning of Chimutz, right? Because the rising creates cracking in the surface, right? So we know that there's such a thing as Seor, which is Chametz. What does Rashi call it? Shelo Hichmetz called Tzarko. We know there's a low Hichmetz called Tzarko, but low Hichmetz called Tzarko means what? It started. So we know there's a low Hichmetz called Tzarko, and we know there's a Hichmetz called Tzarko. So if Siduk is the quality of rising because the expansion is what causes the cracking, And we know there are two stages in rising. So it's mustaver to say that the emergence of cracks at all, i.e. kaini chagavim, is seor. And then when it becomes when it reaches its fullness, we're obviously being a little loose over here, but when it reaches a certain critical tipping point, then it's the full-blown chametz, right? But the problem is Rebbe Meir's is a difficult problem, because Yechsifu Panav doesn't seem like anything happens, right? So why should that be Seor? And Kainei Chagavim is just the emergence of the chimus itself. So why should that be full-blown? Good? Meir, right? So what's the answer? What does Rebbe Meir hold? What does that mean, Rashi? Besocho. It's the tip of the iceberg theory. So in other words, they're in complete agreement. They both agree that what? That there's a start to the chimitz process, and then and there's an end to the chimitz process, and there's a completion of the chimitz. And they both agree that the start is. They both agree that the end is indicated by sedokim shenis arvu. Right. So what are they arguing about? As a practical matter, what are they arguing about?
Whether it has to be on top.
Whether it's on top or on the bottom. Whether it's on top or on the bottom. So what kind of machlokes is that? Whether it's on top or whether it's on the bottom. According to Rebbe Meir, Max, do you remember? We once did this, machlokes. No, not when you were around. According to Rebbe Meir, it's when they're lamata. According to Rebbe Yehuda, it's when it's lamala. Good. It's a good chiluk. Okay. So Ben Simon is taking a good first step. So let's just define the difference. Let's define the difference between what they're saying, right? So in other words, put it into halachic terminology or into a logical terminology. What is Rebbe Meir hold and what is Rebbe Yehuda? Rebbe Meir holds that what? That you need the what? What was your way?
The existence
of Siddokim Shenis Arvo. And Rebbe Yehuda holds, you need what? The manifestation of Siddokim Shenis Arvo. It's good. That's a good definition. But we need more. We still need a little more. Yechsifu.
Yeah. What do
they have to do? Yeah. So you have to use this logic for Yechsifu too. You have to say that he holds Yechsifu means there are some Siddokim Besocho. Right. Right, exactly. In a three-dimensional space.
They didn't show that in the
It's not really the arrival.
In other words, according to Rebbe Meir, it seems like this. I mean, you have to add a little bit of a fact in here, I think. You have to add one fact. You notice how the Mishnah starts? The Mishnah is... What is the Mishnah preoccupied with? What is Seor and what is Siddok? Right? What is Siddok, basically? That's what it comes down to. What is Siddok? So apparently everybody agrees Siddok is Chametz. Siddok is Chametz. Apparently that's some sort of a Mesorah. Siddok is Chametz. But what are they arguing about? What are they arguing about? They're arguing about what the meaning of Siddok is Chametz. What is the meaning? What does it mean that Siddok is Chametz? What's the proper interpretation of saying Siddok is Chametz? According to Rebbe Meir, how is it interpreted? How do you interpret Siddok is Chametz? Rebbe Meir? Ben Simon?
Is there reality of cracks?
No. Come on. What is the definition? Siddok is chametz. It means that they're synonymous. They're synonymous, right? That the phenomenon of siduk is equivalent to the phenomenon of chametz. Okay, that is the physical quality of siduk is the physical counterpart of chametz itself. You understand what I'm trying to say? So even though it's below the surface, there's chametz inside. There's chametz inside. Maybe the top is not chametz, but there's chametz inside.
Chametz inside.
Wherever it's this arvu, that is the equivalent of chametz.
Doesn't that show that the whole entity is chametz, as opposed to there's chametz inside?
Okay, that could be. It's only the surface. He holds the surface is just being prevented. The manifestation is being prevented because of the tension of the surface. But basically, he's saying that siduk is chametz means to say that that is, wherever there's siduk, that spot itself, that is itself the phenomenon of chametz. Right, it's like it's like rising. Okay, well, you'll understand better what I mean when you say the other side. What's the other side hold? That when we have a mesorah, siduk is chametz. What do we mean? What does it mean, siduk is chametz? What's that? What's the mesorah siduk? No. Yes. No. Everybody agrees. I'm trying to say it like this. Everybody agrees, siduk is chametz. Because everybody wants to know what is siduk, right? But the question is, what do we mean when we say siduk is chametz? According to Reb Meir, siduk is chametz means that is the result of chametz itself. When chametz occurs, there's a siduk in its presence. So even though it's below the surface, doesn't matter. If there's siduk anywhere, that means the chametz is present. It's like I say, if something rots, it stinks. It's part of the process. It's part of the thing itself. The rotting itself gives off an odor. It's a component of the process. A component of chimutz is that the dough cracks. That's within the phenomenon itself. It's within the phenomenon itself. It's a characteristic of the phenomenon itself. Now, if I could tell you, I know for sure under the surface, there's a characteristic of chametz, and of course it's chametz. Right? Correct? So what's Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Meir hold? Who is it? Rabbi Yehuda hold? So he held that the Mesorah, that Siduk is chametz, was given over as a simon. You understand? It's not a definition. According to Rabbi Meir, siduk is chametz is a definition. So then, even bidas, if I know that there's siduk somewhere, I know bidas that there's chametz somewhere. But if I give you a simon, if it was nimzar as a simon, so then a simon is only what is manifest. That's the whole idea of a simon. The whole idea of a siman is, I'm not going to tell you the thing itself, but I'm going to tell you a way to know when it's there. But you can't say a way to know when it's there is that I have to use my das to figure out that it's under the surface. That's not a siman anymore. You understand? That's what they're arguing about. When we say, al pi mesora, siduk is chametz, in what type of a statement was that? Was that a definition statement? Or was it b'torah simen? B'torah simen, it's only going to be when you see the... Everybody agrees siduk means that it's mole sidukim. Everybody agrees that. Siduk means not just the presence, but the full expression, qualifying the entire thing. But was that given over as a simen, or was that a definition? So if it's a definition, then you have to use your das to figure out when it's there. If it's a simon, it only exists as a simon when it's shown. You understand? It only exists as a simon when it's shown. Be like if I would say, if I put something, if you see me carrying something, then it's a simon that whatever. So you say, well, I know that whenever he has that whatever, that means he has it in his pocket. So he's carrying it. I know he's carrying it. That would not be a good simon. You ever play Mad Libs? Right? That's not a simon. Can't say because I know he said when he's carrying it, it's a simon. And I can figure out through some other way that it must be in his pocket. So that's a simon. No, that's not what I said. A simon is a totally extraneous way of manifesting something. Right? I'll give you another example. You ever hear of the sturgeon? The fish. So what's unique about the sturgeon? Huh? Close. I mean, this is what they say. I'm not sure if this is true, but there's some fish like this that it has scales in the water. But when you take it out of the water, it loses its scales. Right? It sheds its scales when you take it out of the water. So there's a question if it's kosher or not. Right? So you could say it's a similar kind of a question. Now it's the simone kashrus. The simone kashrus, since it's a simon of kashrus, right, is not a good simon if it doesn't exist in the mokom where you're doing the bedika. Right? Can't say it's a good simon because I could figure out that it had scales. That's not scales as a simon. If it's the scales as an identity of the species that are kosher, that's a certain quality, a characteristic of kosher fish, is that they're scaled, so then mali hocham, mali hosam. What's the difference if it has scales if it loses the scales when it comes out? It's not made to live it out of the water. But if it's just a simon kasherus, so you could say it's not a good simon. Possible. Just an example. Unless you're underwater. It's a raya that you shouldn't go swimming. What? No, there's no such thing as a hidden simon. That's an oxymoron. A hidden simon. Right? A hidden signal. A hidden signal. Right? A hidden beacon. Right? You don't know what a beacon is? A beacon. Like a lighthouse. Like a lighthouse. A beacon of light. Whatever. So it doesn't function, right? Be like if a guy says, you mark off in the water where it's dangerous to go. So the guy says, well, it was under the water. I marked it off. It was under the water. Well, the whole point is that it should be an obvious sign. So
a sign.
Right. So if it's a simon, it has to be manifest. If I tell you, listen, I'm going to give you a simon for one that reaches chametz. It's when it's a sedukin, right? Am I going to expect that you should figure out that it's sedukin beneath the surface? Then you need the simon for the simon, right? And we'll do it so. So Rabbi Meir holds the kind of the siduk was not nimsar b'torah simon, but b'torah smitzias, that the presence of the presence is in the presence of chametz. The presence of sidukin is the presence of chametz. The presence is below the surface. We're not the empiricists. B-Mac, you're not an empiricist, right? You believe that there's something exists beneath the surface. So, it's a duckin. Simon is a sensory thing. Now, simon is in the category of senses. It's given over as a sensory, it has a sensory value. Qualities of the shirt. No, it's for instance. Let's say you have a. You want to know if the shirt is. Someone here is wearing a shirt with a little horse on it. Polo, right? Phoenix.
Yeah.
All right. So you can say there's two ways. Let's say I could say a guy was a maven in haberdasheries. He could tell certain qualities of clothing. And so you could say there's two ways to understand. Two ways to know if it's a polo shirt. Polo shirts have a certain quality that if you stretch them really far, they won't tear. Right, we'll take a chance and we'll see if Phoenix shirt is a polo. Or you could say if it has a little horse, it's a polo shirt. Now, one of them is a characteristic of the shirt. It's taking a certain quality of it and saying the quality has a certain expression of durability, of elasticity, of whatever it is. Right. So, of course, I'm going to have to say if you do something, something will happen, because that's how we understand. There's no such thing as a latent as a quality that doesn't have any expression. Right? Like a mita that doesn't have any expression. A quality that doesn't have any expression. So, of course, there's an expression to the quality. Of course, there's an expression to the quality. But it's part of the quality itself, that expression. That it won't tear. It means it's durable. As opposed to saying, if somebody stitched a little horse on it, the horse is a simmon. That has nothing to do with the quality of the shirt, the horse. Put that horse on any shirt. Right? It's just a simmon. It's a simmon. So we don't have to go around stretching everybody's shirt. We can just tell if he's wearing a polo. You understand? It's a simmon. But what if I tell you, but the simmon has to be is given over not as an intrinsic characteristic of the thing, but just a way of just a marker to know. So it has to be given fully to the to know without having to understand the deeper characteristical issues. So if tzedakin is given as a simmon, it would be on the surface. If it's part of the character of the thing, then it's wherever it's present.
When you say on the surface, you're talking about the card of the government,
right?
No. You're talking
observable. That's a separate question. Everybody, that's a separate clarification. That tzedakin means it's fully characterized by tzedakin.
So there's a stage that's not mentioned in the Gemara that is stuck in just on top.
According to...
No,
the Mishnah has it. The Mishnah has it. Karnicha Gavim is on top.
Well, isn't the simon that we're talking, isn't that simon only the manifestation that's on top?
Not according to Rabbi... Huh? According to Rabbi... What do you mean? The Maisa, you only see things on top.
What is this thing that we're seeing on top? What's the actual Gemara? Like, is there...
If you're according to Rabbi
who? Is there a term for that?
According to who? Who is it again? According to Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Yehuda. He goes by the Simon, right?
Okay.
So he's saying, the Masorah is telling you, if you see the characteristic of Tzedakin, which is Zebezeh, then you know there's Chimutz. Right, but we know that there's a stage before chimut, so it must be karnei chagavim. That's just a deduction. Karnei chagavim is just a deduction of the stage before the real chumut stage. And according to Rabbi Meir, the presence is known once you see one siddik lamala. That means a whole host of siddukim must have emerged beneath it that are pushing it up. Right, but it was nimsa that siddik is a characteristic of chametz. So then as long as I have a way of knowing that it exists even beneath the surface, then I know the presence of chametz exists. There has to be a stage that's seor, so that must be hichsif uponov. Before, observably, hichsif uponov is what precedes karnei chagavim lamala. So that must be the stage of seor. The seor is just going to be a deduction from the prior stage of chametz.